8, we're going to start out today like we always do in some scripture. It's always a good thing. Look what it says here in Romans 8, starting in verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you may live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Father, we love you and give you praise for Jesus and the kindness that you displayed, Lord, by sending him for us. He walked this earth with us, Lord, chose not to sin, chose to trust you by going to the cross, chose to trust you by going to the grave. And as he trusted himself to you, Lord, you raised him from the grave to eternal life with you beside him, beside you in heaven. Father, we give you praise for just being so kind for sending Jesus. And Spirit, we're once again wanting to learn more about you today. And so encourage our hearts to listen to you and be reminded by you. We pray this in your name. Well, we have a rare treat today. We have all of our musical talent gone today. Grace, amazing grace.
Like a flood, his mercy.
Next song is a song, of course, you guys know we've sang it for a while. It's our Holy Spirit song, as we've been talking about the Holy Spirit the past two Sundays, and also the third Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to as well. So let's sing about our hymn to the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, guide my vision, help me see the way you see. Always Jesus, ever Jesus, Christ in all is Christ in me. Holy Spirit, guide my speaking, words of grace and truth abound. Let my lips be filled with stories of the mercy that I found. You're the light, you're my path, you're the shepherd of my soul. Spirit, lead me.
walking through the great unknown, trusting, leaning, holding, clinging till the day you lead me home.
You know, we have a great congregation in the sense that we've got a preacher among us, Jared. And so, Jared, would you mind just saying a prayer right now?
As we move into our communion time, we're going to sing our song we typically know, which is I Love You, Lord. We're going to sing it twice through, so whoever's passed communion, guys, you don't mind. The second time through, just go ahead and come forward. But that's one thing I want to encourage you. Does anybody know the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And so I think it's really wise for us to tell the Lord we love him. And I'm not sure you're saying those things, so it's good to get into practice of saying those things. How often? Well, some might say not often enough, right? So we sing songs like this to help to remind you to tell the Lord that you love him. And it's important that you do so. So let's sing this song. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound to your ear.
One more time.
I love
yesterday was my brother and my sister's birthday. But what does a birthday have to do with communion? One, at with every birthday, you expect a gift. The gift may not be what you want. It may be what you want. But what about the gift of communion? Communion is a gift from God through the Holy Spirit that God gave to us when we were baptized. And also, he also gave the ones that's not Jews, the Holy Spirit, before they was baptized. But why? Because they didn't have the law. But what does the Holy Spirit does for you? I'm not sure it is a stain. The stain may not be very noticeable, but it is there. Just like sin does, it stains your heart. And the only way to clean that is through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Jesus Christ alone. We must let the Holy Spirit clean your heart. But so many times we try to prevent that, and less stain gets darker and darker and darker, which leads to death. There's no way out of death except through the blood of Jesus Christ, because his blood cleans us and makes our blood whole, which feeds our heart and our mind alone. If we let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts and make us to examine our heart to see what's staining it, you can be cleaned by the blood and prevent sin to keep coming into your heart. And the Lord says, when you take these emblems, the body and the blood, you must examine your heart to find what's staining your heart. But if you don't let the Holy Spirit to allow you to examine your heart, you'll never do it. Because we love sin, which we shouldn't. We should love God more than the act of sin. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the gift that you gave us through the blood of your Son. Just let us be willing to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit remind us to examine our heart and our mind and our soul so that we can be cleaned by your Son's blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
I give it all back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, Rick, we on up here, you think? Can you hear me all right? Good. You got a young guy back there, so if he can hear normal, you know it's not loud enough, okay? That's the way it works. I should make mention that I forgot to mention that not all of our musical talent's gone. Darlene's here. However, she didn't get the memo that she could have played this morning. It didn't get passed along to her, so she said, hey, next time, you let me know, okay? You let me know. So next time, if there is a next time, we'll let her know. So thank you for that. Appreciate it. Hey, part of our service time, we always have a pause for a moment. And this is our theme for the year for 2022. Let's read this together. Ready? For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Jared had an excellent prayer time, and an excellent prayer time in the sense that when you're a Christian, you learn things from God's word, and then what do you do with it? You tuck it in your pocket and don't show anybody, right? No, that's not what you do. When you learn God's word, it touches your heart in such a way that you want to do what? Touch the heart of others. You want to share it. That's the way it works. And so, as you think about the verse, for me to live is Christ, I can't think of a better time than ever for you and I to put on display Jesus. Can't think of a better time than ever to do that. Just the way that the nature of things are going. It's our political spectrum, our world, economy, whatever. It's just a great time for you to display Jesus. And so I have found for me personally, I'm going to share more on this later at the end of our sermon time with the video, but I can't think of a better time for me personally to know Jesus is by spending time with him. Spending time with him, okay? My wife and I have got to the point when we drive down the road, she does all the talking, I try to do all the listening. And I get to know her better when I listen, when I'm quiet. And so that's what we do with Jesus. We're sitting still and be quiet with him so we learn him and learn to love him more. So let's just pause for a few seconds to train ourselves to do this daily. This is why we put it here, to train ourselves to do this daily, to spend time with Jesus. Father, we're encouraged by your Spirit to sit and be still with you. Lord, I know we don't do that enough. And so encourage our hearts to daily put into practice what we do on Sunday, which is to worship you, commune with you, and just sit and be still with you. Even for just 120 seconds, just 2 minutes, Lord, to start out every day just spending time with you in stillness, to learn you, to love you, to know what it means to be you in this world. Father, we give you praise for Jesus and what he has done for us. In his name we pray these things. Amen. Hey, if you got your Bible, go to Romans 8 with me. I got a question for you. Some people are confused by this question. This group probably is not so confused by this question, but here's the question. Is there a difference between men and women? There is? Okay. Let me ask you something. I'm just going to do a quick survey of the gals in the room, just the gals in the room. Ladies, do you think there's a difference between men and women and remembering things? And all the women said, yes, amen. That is entirely true. I've noticed this week as I was looking for some things to share with you that in a study with 2,000 adults, in a typical year, we forget 1,460 things in a given year. 1,460 things. I wonder who took the time to count that. But and so there's a difference between men and women and remembering. If you got your sermon outline today, today is a great day to have that sermon outline so you can fill that in. That'll be good for us to do together. So here's what I found out.
women were found to show the most frustration when they lose or forget something. They show the most frustration. And it said this, and more than half of the women in relationships with their mate that has forgotten something, they were counting on them to remember despite numerous attempts to remind them. They were counting on them to do it. More than half of women said they forgot, no matter how many times they reminded their mate. One in four women admits to lying about forgetting when they forget something big. 25% of the women studied said they can never rely on their mate to do something if it's crucial and are better off doing it themselves. Said this, women were twice as likely to be the one in the relationship with the better memory. Also said this about women. Women fail to recall an average of 2.5 things every day. Men fail to remember how many things, you think? All the things? That's pretty close, Vern. All, pretty close. 3.5 things per day. That's how many things that women forget. Here's something interesting about guys. Guys, we just want to make sure that we understand that we're the worst when it comes to memory. It says men are twice as likely to forget their wife's birthday or an anniversary. And remarkably, it said this, that 1 in 20 men have completely forgotten to attend a funeral. Their own. Could be their own, yes. It said this, that 54% of men in relationships rely on their wife to remember certain things so they don't have to. And all the men said what? Amen. That's entirely true. It said this as well, so dad, just as long as you know, we're kicking the bottom of the bucket today when it comes to our memories. 1 in 5 dads has completely forgotten to pick up the kids from school. Or take them home from church. That's right. I think we have forgotten at least once or twice our kids somewhere. So what you're seeing is that we forget things. And so research has also proven this to be true, that approximately 56% of information is forgotten within the hour. So an hour after we have the sermon time today, you will have forgotten 56% of it, okay? And then 66% of us will forget it after a day. And after 6 days, 75% of us we'll forget it. This is why if you're on our SEC text group, you receive a text on Mondays. You receive a text on Monday so you go back and review what we did on Sunday. That's why you get that text. And so I also found this to be true as well. Studies have shown this, that writing notes and sticky notes around the house help people remember. Did anybody notice anything on the walls around the church today? First thing Jackson did was, Papa, why are all these writings on the wall? Because the church has big people in it, and we forget a lot. And we need reminders. Lose the notes. And so if you also notice, too, inside your bulletin, you're going to see a post-it inside your bulletin today. Folks, take those post-its home. Stick them somewhere prevalent and put them somewhere to remind you that the Holy Spirit is trying to remind you of something in your life. And so if you're following along in your sermon outline, we're going to go to Romans 8, verse 12. But we're going to look at our first point today is this. The Holy Spirit reminds us that I get to live eternally. Screen number one, Derek. So Romans 8, verse 12 and 13 says this. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Hey, what is the evidence in your life that you possess eternal life? And you think about that for a moment. What is the evidence in your life that you possess eternal life? The Bible clearly says in John 5, there'll be how many resurrections? There'll be two resurrections, okay? There'll be two resurrections in John 5. Matter of fact, when Jesus comes back, there'll be two resurrections. The resurrection means that your body comes out of the grave and you get an eternal body. One resurrection is that Jesus comes back, you get an eternal body, and your life dwells with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit forever in eternity in heaven. The other resurrection is where you come to have a resurrected body, and because you have chosen not to follow Jesus Christ on your earthly life, you'll be condemned to your sin, and you will go to hell with a resurrected body. And so I ask these things, what is the evidence that you possess eternal life? What is the evidence that you possess eternal life? A number of years ago, we had a man here who was about to do a revival for us, and his name was George. And George had a son who was about to get married. His son was a preacher, and he was about to marry a gal from the church. And she come from a good family and been in church all her life. And she gave every indication that she was a Christian woman based on where she resides on Sunday mornings and who her family is. I'll never forget what George said to his son before he's about to marry this gal. He says, "Son, I cannot support your marriage to your fiance. I see no fruit of the Spirit in her life. She's not a Christian." Well, it turns out the boy took dad's advice and he didn't marry her. And so what I'm about to put before you is this. I believe there is evidence in our life today and every day that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of us, the fruit of the Spirit. Here they are here on the screen, okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That's the evidence that you have who in your life? The Holy Spirit in your life, when you have those things in your life. But there's also another list just like that printed just before that in Galatians 5 in verses 19 to 21. Look at this verse. It's quite extensive. I don't think I need to read it. You can probably see the words up there. So as you contemplate these two lists, this is the works of the flesh, the other ones was the fruit of the Spirit. Every person in this room is subject to the evidence or lack of evidence of the Holy Spirit in their life. Now, as you look at these two lists, this one's works of the flesh. Let's go back to the other one. The work of the Spirit. The work of the flesh. Next screen there, Derek. Work of the flesh. Now, as you look at these screens, of these two lists, I want to ask you this question. Of these two lists, which are you dwelling in the most often? More readily or freely displaying? Now, as you think about that, if you have one or some of the traits and the behaviors of the flesh, it says, the Bible says, you must die. We read that. Verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now, this doesn't mean a physical death. There is a point in the Christian life where the person who believes in Jesus Christ dies in the waters of immersion, and the Bible says in Romans 6, 4, that you walk in newness of life. So newness of life. And so when you're immersed in Christ, the old you, what happens to the old you? He dies. The Bible says that specifically in Romans 6. And along with the power of the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit raised you to new life. The flesh no longer has power over you. This is the evidence that you have the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, I want you to hear this. A key trait that you have the Holy Spirit in your life is that people who are in the Spirit evaluate the thoughts and actions of their body. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you're evaluating the thoughts and actions of your body. Each day, you are tempted to follow whatever actions that your body wants to follow. You're tempted to do that. That's what you're tempted to do. And those actions are not always in line with the Holy Spirit. So listen to this. Someone who's in the Holy Spirit evaluates their actions daily. That's what they do. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, don't miss this, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you're putting to death the deeds of the flesh so that you can please God in your everyday life. Those things aren't pleasing to God, you're putting to death those things. So listen again, this is a one telling evidential truth that the Holy Spirit's in your life. You are daily evaluating your thoughts and your actions. That's how you can tell the Holy Spirit's in your life. And so when you have a thought or action that's not in line with the Holy Spirit or pleasing to God, you're evaluating and say, you know what, that needs to leave my life. So if you're following along in your sermon outline, here's some of the first things you're going to fill in the blank today, okay? The Holy Spirit reminds me that I get to live eternally, eternally. So number one, evaluate your perceived obligations. Are they from the Spirit or you? You feel obliged to do certain things. There are some things you feel obliged to do. You better figure out who it is. Is it the Holy Spirit or is it your flesh? You better listen to that. Evaluate that, the things that you feel you must do. Okay, evaluate that. Second thing is this, evaluate your deeds. What flesh-driven deeds must die today? There's something each of us are doing, maybe on a daily basis, a weekly basis, I don't know how often it is for you, but you're doing something in the flesh every day and you know it needs to stop. Evaluate that. It needs to be killed off and done, repented of. The third thing is this. This is kind of a fun one too. Recall those sinful deeds that died in you. Then praise the Spirit for His help in putting to death those deeds. Sometimes we forget that through the Holy Spirit, we have killed off wrong things in our life. We don't do those wrong things anymore. I don't even have a desire to do those wrong things anymore. We so much want to condemn ourselves for those things we continue to do. Well, don't do that for a minute. And just praise God for the fact that He's rescued you from those things that you no longer do, sinful things you no longer do. Praise Him for that. Second point today is this. The Holy Spirit reminds me that I am a child of God. The Holy Spirit reminds me that I am a child of God. I told you last week, and it'd be fair game to go back and look at it. I told you last week about the expected character traits of a Blaine. I told you that. And something happened with a girl that we were at the Show Me Christian Youth Home. Her name is Katrina. And Katrina was a girl that came to us when she was about 16. And she truly had no parents whatsoever. We were her parents that we came to be because she soon called us mom and dad after she moved in with us. And she continues to call us mom and dad. We still keep in touch with her and go see her from time to time, stay with her and her husband. She's married to a deputy sheriff over in a small town in Missouri, just a really nice gal, good family. And I remember years ago when Katrina was at her house, we would get ice cream donations. And in our family, that was one of the character traits of Blaine's. We always eat ice cream. We just love to do it. Matter of fact, we had a gathering last night at Ashley's house, and we had homemade ice cream. And so I can remember asking Katrina if she wanted some ice cream. She goes, "No, I don't like ice cream." I thought, this is so strange. How can someone not like ice cream? And she goes, "No, I don't like ice cream." This is what I said to her. "Well, you can't be a Blaine unless you like ice cream." To which she replied, "Well, I guess I'm not a Blaine." And that taught me something when that gal said that, Katrina said that. That taught me something. Do you realize you have a choice in whom do you belong? You have a choice to whom you belong. Look in Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. Look what the Bible says. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Now, I've heard it said before that we're all children of God. Now, that's not true. We're not all children of God. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" There are specific requirements in the Bible for someone to be called a child of God. Look what it says here in the Scriptures, okay? It's in John 1, 12. Let's all read this together. "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." You can see it right there on the screen. It says plain as day. An obvious requirement to be a child of God, you must receive Jesus and believe in Jesus' name. And only after you have received Jesus and believed in Jesus are you then called a child of God. Look in Romans 8, 14 again. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." So the evidence that you are a child of God is you're being led by who? Holy Spirit. That's verse 14. You're being led by the Holy Spirit. So how can one tell? How can one tell if they are listening to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit? Look in verse 15. "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption in sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father." Hey, quick question, folks. Listen. How would you describe your fear level in a given day? How would you describe your fear level in a given day? Your experience of experiencing fear in a given day? You see, here's what I find is to be true, is that many of us face fear and anxiety. And fear and the anxiety associated with fear seems to be rampant in our world today, even among people who profess to be Christians. They're just struggling with fear and anxiety, even as Christians. And one way to judge your level of anxiety is ask the question, what do you most fear? What do you most fear? I looked up another study this week. It's by safehome.org, and they surveyed 2,083 adults. Screen 8, Derek. And they had three fears that propped up: not afraid, slightly afraid, afraid, or very afraid. And they listed 41 fears to these 2,083 U.S. adults, and they had a fear factor from 1 to 100, 100 being the worst, okay? Now, you can't see that screen, but I'm going to give you the top five. Here's the top five top fear things for us, okay? Next tab down, Derek. Number one is loved ones dying, okay? Number two, loved ones become seriously ill. Number three, mass shootings. Number four, not enough money for retirement. And number five, don't do the next one yet, is terrorism. And what do you think the last thing that most people in America are afraid of? Here it is, Derek. Now the last one is abducted by aliens. Abducted by aliens. I hope that's nobody in this group. Anyway, you know, as you look on that screen there, you see those top five things. When fear is a ruler of your life, guess what happens? It's a tyrant of a ruler. When fear is ruler of your life, you are in slavery to fear. That's what happens. You're absolute in slavery to fear. And the Holy Spirit reminds us that when he comes into our lives, he's removed fear from our life. That's what he's done. He's removed fear. And so the Holy Spirit reminds us that we've been adopted by who? The Heavenly Father. We've been adopted by him. That's what the Holy Spirit reminds us. And this means, listen to this, this means that we have been removed from the dysfunctional family of fear. We've been removed from the dysfunctional family of fear and placed into the loving family of our Heavenly Father. Okay? Look at this next screen in 1 John 4:18. Okay? Look what the Bible says here. Let's read this together. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. And so as I look at that context, listen, when you find yourself overcome by fear, you're not listening to the remindings of who? The Holy Spirit. You're not listening. When you have fear so rampant and intrusive in your brain, you're not listening to the reminders of the Holy Spirit that the Heavenly Father loves you. And this love, there it is right here, this love has such an experience attached to it that the Bible says here in Romans 8 that we get to call our Holy Father Abba, which is the same word we get for daddy. Daddy. A number of years ago, I remember this when one of Huey's girls showed up, and even in their, how old, you got some kids, fifth decade, sixth decade even, okay? Even his girls in the sixth decade still call Huey daddy. Daddy. You and I have that relationship with the Heavenly Father where we can call him dad or daddy because the Holy Spirit's speaking to our hearts and he reminds us that the Heavenly Father is our dad. Look in verse 16 in Romans 8. The Bible says this, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit is now communicating with your innermost being. Right here, your innermost being. He's in our heart, telling our heart, telling our spirit that we are a child of God. This is significant. If you're listening to this person inside your heart telling you you're a child of God, what will that do to your level of fear and anxiety? Well, it's going to decrease it. And eventually, you're going to find yourself in a position where I'm not scared of that anymore. I'm not going to become anxious about that anymore because I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 17, Romans 8. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Look, friends, fear and uncertainty, fear and anxiety are a byproduct of uncertainty. I'm going to say it again. Fear and anxiety are a byproduct of uncertainty. We are most fearful and most anxious when we are uncertain about a certain scenario. That is our future. Now look at verse 17 again, okay? What does verse 17 say about our future? What's an heir? What's an heir? Someone is going to inherit something, okay? And so if you look at the text again, since we are children of God, since, not if, since we are children of God, we have an inheritance, okay? And this inheritance is as certain as Jesus' inheritance. This is powerful. Don't miss this. Our inheritance is as certain as what Jesus' inheritance was. What inheritance did Jesus receive? He had eternal life to begin with, but he went to the grave with a broken, battered body, came out of the grave with what kind of body? A new body, resurrected body, and that kind of body was now where? It's in heaven. Jesus' eternal body is in heaven sitting beside the Father, okay? This is our same inheritance. You and I will receive the same inheritance that Jesus did. Now, might you have to suffer in this world? Yep, you sure are. It's foolish to think you're not going to. But when you suffer in this world, doesn't mean you're not getting your resurrected body. Just like Jesus received the inheritance of an eternal resurrected body and is now in heaven with the Father, so are you going to receive an inheritance of an eternal resurrected body and be in heaven with our Father. We have the same. This means that the Holy Spirit is consistently reminding your spirit, listen, he's reminding your spirit not to be afraid, don't give in to anxiety, because we have the same assurance of being adopted in the Father's love, same assurance. That's powerful, folks. That's powerful. And this adoptedness that we have into the Father's love, it means that no matter what we suffer, we know that the glory of a resurrected body to be with our Father is going to happen. It's going to happen. That's certain. So as I contemplate that, fill in the blank here on this, the Holy Spirit reminds me that I am a child of God. The first thing I want to do is evaluate your fears, worries, and anxieties. Who are you listening to? Think about this. When you're rampant with anxiety, have lots of fear just welling up inside your heart and mind, you need to start evaluating that. Who are you listening to? And we've developed that in Stephanie and I's relationship over the years as well. Something that's come up in a conversation was like, where'd you hear that? Who are you listening to? And we'll remind each other, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to when you give in to your fears, worries, and anxiety? Who are you listening to? The second thing is this, evaluate your language. Evaluate your language. Ashley reminded me yesterday that when my grandma Florence died, I was just brand new Christian, and I responded very foolishly. I told you this before. I took my keys, and I threw them out in CRP. Where's the brains in that? And I screamed while doing it. My language was reaching out towards who? Myself. Evaluate your language. When you're going through sufferings or hard times, who are you crying out to? Who are you really talking to when you're having a tough time? Evaluate your language, and when you're going through a tough time, are you crying out to your heavenly dad when fear intrudes in your mind? Are you crying out to your heavenly dad when fear intrudes into your mind? Third thing is this. Be still and listen. Be still and listen. We coach this every Sunday in the middle of service. I know we don't do that just for fun. We do that for reality's sake. You have got to sit still and listen to the Holy Spirit remind you that you have an eternal inheritance of Jesus. You have an eternal inheritance of Jesus. You've got to listen to it. You've got to sit still and be listening. You just have to do that. Our third point today is this. The Holy Spirit reminds me to be eager for my redemption. The Holy Spirit reminds me to be eager for my redemption. I found something amazing this past month. Absolutely amazing. I didn't know it even existed. I got online and I evaluated five companies that did this service. And I found one that I really liked. So here's what happened. I contacted the company, paid $15. They sent me a box. And I put all my old 8mm tapes in this box. And I taped up the box, had a FedEx label on it, and shipped it off to the company. Within a week, I got an email and said, hey, look, if you want to, you can start looking at your old family videos on your phone. And so for over a week now, I've been going through the family videos on my phone, sending it to the kids so they can look at it. It has been such a great time for the kids to remind me how much hair I used to have. But when I say that, those videos are 20 years old. 20 years old. And I want to tell you something. It reminded me of something, that times past, listen to this, times past seemed easier than times present. It seemed that way when I look at those videos. And what I learned is that we all become jaded with time. Have you noticed that about yourself? We become jaded with time. And so as I looked at those videos, as I observed the interactions of my small children and now adult children, it reminded me of how simple things were then compared to where they are now. My children are no longer innocent children. When those videos were shot, they didn't observe near the sufferings they observe now, or the conflict, or the difficulties they have now as adults. And what brought to my mind as I watched my children at that young age in those videotapes, it had me laughing, had me smiling, even had me crying at times, because those moments are very touching to me.
my kids, for the most part, in those videos, were untouched by this world. And it was good to watch that. It reminded me of how good things are when the world hasn't jaded you so much. My family, our children, myself, we've endured suffering since those 20 years have lapsed. And again, it was very refreshing to see my children those 20 years ago mostly untouched by the pains of this world. It was just very refreshing. As I contemplate that with you, I want to share with you something about the Holy Spirit. He's an amazing person. Don't ever call him an it. Holy Spirit is he. He is an amazing person. And what those videotapes did for me, listen, in reviewing my past, the Holy Spirit does the same thing in reviewing my future. What those videotapes did for me in reviewing the past, the Holy Spirit does for me in reviewing my future. Look in Romans 8:18 and how the Holy Spirit reviews our future. Okay, Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And this tells me something about the Holy Spirit. Okay, next screen there, Derek. Romans 8:18 says this, is that the Holy Spirit reminds me, listen, the Holy Spirit reminds me that the sufferings I endure here are not even worthy to be compared with the glory we'll have there with Jesus. Don't miss that. The Holy Spirit reminds me that the sufferings I endure here are not even worthy to be compared with the glory we will have there with Jesus. Some of you are doing this. Some of you say, I can't forget. I can't forget what I've gone through. I can't forget my sufferings. I can't forget. You know why you can't forget? Because you're choosing to remember. Stop remembering those things and start dwelling on the remindings of the Holy Spirit. What you have endured is not worthy to even be compared to what you're going to have in heaven with the Lord. Not worthy. If you want to forget it, stop remembering it. Second thing is this, Romans 8:19 says this, Romans 8:10, it's in the Bible. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. And so the Holy Spirit reminds me that there is coming a day when I will be revealed into eternity as a child of God. Friends, you're going to heaven someday. Can you smile about it? I mean, seriously. You're going to heaven someday. And you're going to be free of the body you have now. I don't know why we just can't jump up and down and be gleeful. Well, we're not able. Out there, there's some truth in that. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's right. I get you. But listen to the Holy Spirit. You've got good stuff coming. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Folks, we have got to represent ourselves to the world in such a way that people say, how come you seem joyful? Well, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you about it. I got a good body coming. What? You got a good body coming. The Holy Spirit reminds you of that. Romans 8:20-21. That's what the Bible says there. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Well, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Look, the Holy Spirit reminds me that when I'm frustrated about my present situation, I'm almost certain you had frustration in the past 24 hours. I'm almost certain. He reminds me that when I'm frustrated about my present situation, I can have hope in my future destination because I'll be free from the frustration of this world. How many of you want to be free of frustration? It's not going to happen here. I don't care what politician you get. I don't care how much money you earn. It doesn't matter whatever you get or don't get for a birthday present. It's not going to happen here. The only time your frustration ends is when you get in glory of Jesus. That's it. Do you understand the implications that means for you and I when you engage the world? Yep, the political spectrum stinks right now. Yep, the economy stinks right now. That doesn't matter. What matters most is that you're expressing hope beyond the frustrations you're experiencing now. That's what matters most. Express that hope, okay? Romans 8:22-23. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly
as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. And so this reminds us that the Holy Spirit reminds us that through the pains of my earthly body, that someday soon it will be redeemed to an eternal body. You're going to be bought back from an earthly body and redeemed to an eternal body. I don't know about you, friends. I'm 52, and I think I'm kind of young. My body hurts. I got eye surgery on Tuesday for cataracts at 52. I won't need cataracts in heaven. Someday, I'm going to turn my body in for what? A new one. A better one. Praise God for that. Romans 8, 24 and 25. The Bible says this, "For this, in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they've already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." And so as I contemplate that with you, the Holy Spirit reminds me to be patient. Be patient. And endure my painful earthly life by eagerly hoping for my pain-free eternal life. Friends, are you eager? I mean, when you wake up in a given day, are you eager? Well, yeah, I'm eager to get the day over with. No, I'm not talking about that. Are you eager for your pain-free eternal life? You know what? When people are eager, what do they look like? They don't look like this. They look eager. I'm ready to get to see Jesus. I'm ready to get to heaven. I'm eager to get there. Do you realize what kind of light you be if you're an eager person? Eager. So as we talk about this, last thing, here it is. The Holy Spirit reminds me to be eager for my redemption. To be eager for my redemption. Number one is this. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to dwell on. Quit dwelling on stuff. Just quit doing it. Just stop doing it. You're not a cow. You don't need to chew your cud on your past. You don't need to do it. Quit ruminating on it. Ask Him to help you stop dwelling on things that don't matter. Second thing is this. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you stop complaining. Stop complaining about this earthly life and place more energy in the hope of eternal life. We've got to stop complaining. We really do. It didn't help anybody at all. Stop complaining about what you don't like now and focus on the energy of hoping in what you're going to get later. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. The third thing is this. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you have an attitude of eagerness for the redemption of your body. I would love to see us be eager people. I love the people say, you know what? I just ran into a Sheridan Christian Church person the other day. They sounded eager. Weirdo. Eager. Eager. Well, this past week, we had a great time with several things. We celebrate like three birthdays in this week. And so we've had a good time celebrating birthdays. Three grandsons of mine. And my wife had the 22nd anniversary of her 30th birthday. And so we had a great time. And so we're going to have the volume up back there, guys. And I just want to show you, just play the videos back to back, okay? Don't even worry about stopping. Just play the videos back to back. We've got two videos here. I want to show you what happened on Friday morning. You'll get a kick out of it. Look what happened here on Friday morning. Go. Volume up.
Excellent. You're doing good, Devin. Keep it up. Excellent work. We got to catch up with the rest of the gang. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. Woohoo! As long as I don't wreck. Then we got to catch up with Miss Avery way up there.
Wow. All right, get that guy's face off there. That old guy. Yeah, yeah. Hey, what did you see in that video? Fun, that's good. What else? What else? Family, good, yeah. You saw me, you're right. How about encouragement? Did you see encouragement? I didn't realize until I watched the videos later that I almost said the exact same thing to Davin, and everybody should have a Spider-Man bike. You would feel better, I'm sure, if you did. But it was encouraging for Davin to get an encouraging word. It was encouraging for Addison to get an encouraging word. And while it's kind of fun to look at me on that screen as well, I also noticed something about me. I haven't always been an encouraging person.
It wasn't until I became a Christian that I didn't think of anybody but myself prior to becoming Christian. And as the Holy Spirit encourages me in my own life, guess what he does with you? You'll encourage other people. How many people will you meet tomorrow or even this afternoon who are trying to struggle up a hill on a bicycle? I don't know how to ride a bike. I'm talking a hyperbole here. How many people are struggling every day? And guess what you're to do with the Holy Spirit inside you? You're to encourage. I'm going to teach a new song today about the Holy Spirit, so I want to encourage you. That decision to make for Jesus. Let's talk after church, and we can do that. But you can stay seated where you are, and it's a song about the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives. And so let me pray real quick, and we'll start that song. Father, we love you and give you praise for Jesus and how kind he is to us. Spirit, we want to listen to you, and sometimes our flesh gets in the way. We just don't do it. Help us to repent, to listen, and give you praise, Lord, for just being so kind to us. We love you, Spirit, and look forward to seeing how you'll work in our lives. We pray in your name. Amen.
This is my worship, this is my offering, in every moment I withhold nothing. I'm learning to trust you, even when I can't see it, and even in suffering I have to believe. Say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. All I've got, I have to
worth to love me at my worst, and even when I don't remember, you remind me of my worth. I don't trust my ways, I'm trading in my thoughts. I lay down everything, 'cause you're all
IFA is a group that Intercessors for America, and they said today that June 12th is the day we're going to pray for police officers, and we have one of those in our midst. And so I'm going to ask Rick come down and Vern come down now, please, and we're going to pray for Jason. So Jason, you mind coming up? We're going to pray for him, and want to encourage you to be praying for officers across our land. Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you've probably been finding officers are facing a lot of challenges in America, a lot of challenges. And I encourage you, quit hiding under a rock and start praying. And so elders are going to pray for Jason today, and his role here is a deputy here in our county. And so we're also going to pray that he arrests none of you.
You have to.